Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the COVID-19 update for Thursday, November 19th. Dr. Azike and I are joined today by Dr. Kamal Singh, an infectious disease specialist with North Shore University Health System, who has worked hands-on to care for hospitalized COVID patients since the beginning of this pandemic. Tomorrow will be the first day of our statewide Tier 3 mitigation efforts. Outside of things you have to leave home for, like school, work, and groceries, we're asking everyone to stay home as much as you can. This is a temporary thing that we can do to reduce the spread of this virus in our communities. That will give our healthcare workers some relief and ensure that there will be hospital beds and doctors and nurses available for emergencies. One thing you can do to further assist our hospitals is to donate blood. Fewer people than usual are giving blood during this pandemic, yet there are still patients in need of transfusions, including those who need surgery, are undergoing cancer treatments, have chronic conditions such as sickle cell, or for those who experience accidents or trauma. Blood collection is especially low around the holidays in normal times, and then add a pandemic on top of that. We need your help. As you all already know, here in Illinois, the state has provided contact tracing grants to the 97 local public health departments, where they are in charge of their counties and cities' contact tracing efforts for COVID-19. The advantage of this localized approach is that it allows neighbors to reach out to neighbors, offering localized services and answers for those who are isolating in their communities. In that same spirit, we'll be bringing on a network of pandemic health navigators, community-based organizations tasked with connecting those who are infected or exposed to COVID with critical services and resources such as meals, medicine, mobility assistance, mental health resources, supports that are especially vital during isolation and quarantine. These navigators will be especially important for our most vulnerable populations. Among other things, these organizations will do everything from assisting with public benefits applications to supporting health literacy, from combating COVID rumors and myths to promoting everyday preventive actions. Whatever it takes to reduce the disparity in outcomes shouldered by marginalized communities in this pandemic. I'm proud to announce today that we're sending $60 million in funding out the door to our two regional coordinator organizations. They, in turn, will award grants to community-based groups who do this work on the ground. These grants will cover the entire state except Cook County and Chicago, both of which directly receive funds from the federal government to manage local programs of their own. OSF Healthcare System, already a great partner to the state in our COVID-19 telehealth program, will coordinate this work in our Restore Illinois Region 1, and the Illinois Public Health Association, with a special focus on federally qualified health centers, will coordinate efforts in Regions 2 through 9. Both organizations will be bringing on numerous local partners to support those who need assistance. They will also help us reach some of our most at-risk groups in this pandemic. That includes rural communities, Black and Brown communities, elderly residents, people at or near the poverty line, undocumented immigrants, people experiencing homelessness, LGBTQ individuals, people with disabilities, disconnected youth, people with limited English proficiency, really anyone who has few existing support mechanisms that could benefit from a little help navigating this pandemic, because nobody should have to go this alone. Through this partnership, these groups will receive direct funds from our regional coordinators for additional hiring. So we'll be creating jobs while we're addressing our public health challenges. If you're a leader of a deeply rooted grassroots organization outside of Cook County who might be able to take on this work, we have a link on our Department of Public Health website to submit your information to our regional coordinators. Just visit dph.illinois.gov/COVID-19. And you'll find on that website the Regional Health Navigator Interest Form under the Contact Tracing subheading. These groups will be part of our Illinois Contact Tracing Collaborative, so they can also assist our local health departments with their contact tracing workload in times of surge. We continue to see concerning trends statewide in our hospitalization data, but in the most recent 2 or 3 days, we've seen a hint of leveling in new cases and positivity rates in most of our regions. It's too early at this point to determine if this stabilizing of the average is a meaningful trend or an anomaly, but we're glad to at least have a pause in our upward movement. That doesn't mean, of course, that our work to slow the spread is any less important. These numbers are still extraordinarily high. And today's new cases won't show up in our hospitalization data, which are still trending poorly, for a number of days, maybe even a week or more. Let's take these next few weeks, and really commit to making a change for our healthcare workers, for our neighbors, for ourselves, and for our families. And while we know it's in part all of these concerns that are driving an interest in testing, I'm proud that here in Illinois, we prepared our testing infrastructure for a surge and are seeing the results of that work now, with our testing reaching record heights. Illinois is now averaging a 6-digit 7-day testing average, now above 101,000 tests on average per day. This comes as today we report our second highest single day of testing ever at 113,447. Remember, you can't test your way to safety in a pandemic, but we're doing everything in our power to expand testing availability to make sure that it's there for you and your family when you need it, so you can get the answers that you and your family need and do what it takes to keep others safe too. You can find the nearest site for testing at dph.illinois.gov/testing. Thank you, and I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Ngozi Ezike.
Good afternoon, everyone. Every day we provide the number of tests that were reported in the past 24 hours, and as the governor just mentioned, today more than 113,000 tests have been reported for a total of almost 9.5 million tests since the beginning of this pandemic. And we've been seeing the number of tests steadily increase, which is great. And I want to encourage everyone to continue to pursue testing. It is through testing that we actually identify who has the virus and identify individuals who may have been exposed so that they can quarantine and prevent further spread. However, as the governor just mentioned, I have to remind you that if you've been in close contact with someone who has tested positive, you do need to quarantine for the full 14 days. Getting a negative test result at day 4 or day 6 or even day 9 does not mean that you no longer have to quarantine for the remaining days to make 14. It can take, in some instances, up to 14 days for the virus to express itself in an individual and register a positive test. So even if you got tested every single day from the date that you were exposed, you could receive a negative test on day 1, 2, 3, all the way up to day 10. But then on day 11, you could test positive then. And that's the reason that we say that you have to maintain this quarantine. Of course, we know that most people will show up positive earlier, but we don't want to take that additional risk. If you've been in close contact with someone who has tested positive, please quarantine for that full 2 weeks. I've been hearing people talk about wanting to get tested in advance of the Thanksgiving holiday, hoping that if they test negative, that means that they're good to go and okay to gather with friends and family, including their elderly relatives. That only works if you haven't exposed yourself to anyone in the 14 days from when you got tested to when you meet up with your friends and family. So when you are around other people, you can be exposed to the virus at any time. So while I do want to encourage people to get tested, just remember a negative test does not get you a free pass to celebrate Thanksgiving in person. The safest way to celebrate with your loved ones and your cherished elderly relatives is to do it virtually. Today we are reporting 14,612 new cases and 168 additional deaths. That includes individuals in their 30s, 40s, 50s, as well as individuals over 60. This brings the total number of cases in Illinois to 621,383 and the number of deaths to 11,178. Overnight, 6,037 individuals were in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 1,192 were in the ICU and 587 were on ventilators. My fear is that the number of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths will spike even further in the weeks after Thanksgiving because people spent that holiday together, mixing households. I don't want anyone to have to look back and say, if only we didn't have people over for Thanksgiving, such and such, so and so might still be here for New Year's or Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. 2020 is definitely a year like no other, and as such, this Thanksgiving holiday has to be celebrated like none other. But it's not forever. I'd like to remind everyone that this is a time-limited sacrifice. The more we can reduce the spread of the virus now, then when a safe and effective vaccine does come out, and it looks like it may be coming soon, the quicker we can then get back to normal. Please, let's do what we know is right. We're almost there. Celebrate in person with those in your household and virtually with others, and we will look forward to much normal celebrations in the years to come. Thank you.
Hola y buenas tardes. Cada día compartimos la cantidad de pruebas hechas en las últimas 24 horas. Hoy se reporta más de 113,000 pruebas hechas, para un total casi de más de 9.5 millones de pruebas aquí en Illinois. Hemos visto la cantidad de pruebas aumenta frecuentemente. Eso es buena noticia. Quiero animar a la gente que se hagan las pruebas para COVID-19. Las pruebas identifican dónde está el virus y a las personas que pueden haber estado expuestas para que puedan ponerlas en cuarentena y evitar una mayor propagación. Sin embargo, quiero recordar a la gente que si ha estado en contacto con alguien que dio positivo en la prueba, debe ponerse en cuarentena durante 14 días completos. Obtener un resultado negativo en la prueba después del día 4 o el día 6 o el día 10 no significa que ya no tenga que ponerse en cuarentena. El virus puede tardar hasta 14 días para entrar al sistema de una persona y registrar en una prueba. Si se hace la prueba todos los días después de la fecha en que estuvo expuesto, podría recibir un resultado negativo todos los días, de 1 a 10. Pero el día 11, la prueba será positiva o también podría ser al día 14. Es por eso, si ha estado en contacto con alguien que dio positivo, debe estar en cuarentena durante 14 días completos. ¿Ha escuchado a personas hablar sobre querer hacerse la prueba antes del Día de Acción de Gracias con la esperanza de que si dan negativo, eso significa que está bien reunirse con familiares y amigos? Eso solo funciona si no ha estado expuesto a nadie en los 14 días desde que se hizo la prueba hasta que ve a sus amigos y familiares. Cuando está cerca de otras personas, puede exponerse al virus en cualquier momento. Entonces, si bien quiero animar a las personas a que se hagan la prueba, pero una prueba negativa no le da un pase gratis para celebrar el Día de Acción de Gracias en persona. La forma más segura de celebrar y agradecer este año es hacerlo virtualmente. Hoy informamos 14,612 casos nuevos y 168 muertes adicionales. Esto trae el número total de casos aquí en Illinois a más de 621,000 y el número de muertes a más de 11,100. 6,037 personas estuvieron en el hospital con COVID-19. De ellos, 1,192 pacientes estaban en la unidad de cuidados intensivos y 587 personas estaban en ventiladores. Mi temor es que la cantidad de casos, la gente en el hospital y muertes aumenta más en las semanas después del Día de Acción de Gracias, porque la gente pasaron el día juntos con mucha gente. Odiaría que la gente mirara atrás y dijera, si no tuviéramos invitados para el Día de Acción de Gracias, todavía estarían con nosotros para disfrutar de la Navidad, Hanukkah o Kwanzaa. 2020 es un año como ningún otro, y esta temporada navideña no será como ninguna otra. Me gustaría recordarles a todos que este es un sacrificio solamente para ahora. No siempre será así. Si podemos reducir la propagación del virus ahora, cuando salga una vacuna segura, más rápido podremos volver a la normalidad. Por favor, hagan lo que sabemos que es correcto. Celebre en persona con las personas de su casa
Backcountry,
virtualmente
this is
hey, how
con otras familiares.
Is the cotton
Muchísimas wood. Gracias para su apoyo. And with that, I will turn the podium over to Dr. Singh.
Thank you, Governor Pritzker, Dr. Ezeki, for inviting me to be here today. Again, my name is Dr. Kamal Singh, and on behalf of all of my colleagues at North Shore University Health System, we'd like to thank you for your leadership in these very difficult times. I've prepared a short statement on three important points. The first is healthcare capacity and healthcare workers. Let me begin by clearly stating that our hospitals and staff, including hospitals around the state and country, are close to a breaking point. At North Shore, we admitted our first COVID patients on March 8th, and since then, we have not stopped. I will segue for a moment and mention that the first cases that we had was a wonderful older couple that had just returned from an overseas holiday with COVID symptoms. As is common with this virus, the wife recovered and was discharged home well, but her husband got worse at week 2 and was eventually put on a breathing machine. He expired 1 week later. It was a traumatic and a significant realization for me that this is truly a lethal virus and that we will lose many more patients. Our second surge began a month ago today, and we are filling hospital and ICU beds at North Shore and around the state at an exponential speed. Our staff are already exhausted after 9 months of a physical, mental, and emotionally exhausting battle. I know at times that numbers can just fly over our heads, but to put it in simple terms, 1 in 5 hospitalized patients will die of COVID-19 infection. We are accumulating new infections at the rate of more than 1 per second, and every minute, a fellow American dies of the virus. It reminds me of growing up during the Vietnam War. I could never wrap my brain around the numbers of soldiers' lives lost, but the pictures were terribly compelling. Unfortunately, I can't show you pictures of the suffering of our patients, but hopefully you can tell from the tone of my voice that this is a real human tragedy. Our staff have been doing an amazing job to care for each and every patient, but it hasn't been easy to witness so much illness, and this has truly been, for us, a 21st century mass casualty event. Secondly, I want to stress We can defeat this virus and flatten the curve. This is the second worldwide SARS coronavirus outbreak that I have been involved in, and I can tell you that we can beat this virus. In 2003, we defeated the first SARS coronavirus in 6 months with nothing more than very aggressive public health measures. Many countries like Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong have demonstrated you can control the spread of this COVID virus with strict social distancing, mandatory mask use, testing and isolation of infected patients, contact tracing, and quarantine of exposed individuals. We need everyone to understand that this battle will be won outside the hospital, not in it. Once you're in the hospital, the cat is out of the bag. We have to take the fight out in the community, because the only way we can beat this virus is to stop transmission out there and prevent our friends and family members becoming sick and then needing hospitalization. This in turn will also reduce the stress on our healthcare systems and our staff. Our message to you is, we stay in the hospital for you and we need you to stay home for us. Finally, I'd like to say something about mitigation, including both private and public behavior measures. I think I speak for my fellow healthcare workers and our public health experts that the new Tier 3 mitigation measures that the governor has announced are absolutely needed. But the governor can only help modify our public behavior by limiting customer capacity in stores, gyms, closing indoor dining, and recommending work from home. These are common sense measures and they work, because we were able to bring down our positivity rate to 2% after the first wave. But we will also need to change our private behavior, because a lot of transmissions are occurring at birthday parties, weddings, and family gatherings. This is especially important as we approach Thanksgiving, and it's critical that we make our bubble smaller and only celebrate with our immediate household members. Instead of focusing on inconveniences, let's focus on bringing down our case positivity rate to very low single digits. Because once we get to that goal, we can again safely open up businesses and return to a more normal life. That's the way I would view these restrictions. So let me reiterate, there is no such thing as a casual gathering. Each one has consequences. Thank you again. Let me now turn it back to Governor Pritzker.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Dr. Singh. And before I take questions, every day I stand up in front of you and try to answer questions as honestly and openly as I can. Some people might not agree with my answers, but I think it's important that when you have been elected to a position of public trust, that you work every day to earn that trust. I know this is true for many people, but the last 8 months have been some of the hardest that I have ever faced. Every morning now, I wake up and I know that what awaits me are mostly terrible choices that come with horrible costs. And I know that every day at 2:30, I'm going to stand in front of you and answer for those choices. That is the job of an elected leader. When I took office almost 2 years ago, I knew that I needed to do at least one thing: end the massive dysfunction of the Rauner years. If that meant working with people that I disagree with, Democrats or Republicans, then I was willing to do that. And I have done that. When it comes to the law, I don't have any ability to predict how this investigation by the U.S. Attorney into Speaker Madigan's actions is going to conclude, and I would not even try. I firmly believe that anyone accused of a crime and those who face accusations of wrongdoing are innocent until proven guilty, but that's not our standard for holding higher office. Instead, here's what we all know. The pay-to-play quid pro quo situation outlined in these indictments released last night are unspeakably wrong. Anyone who concludes otherwise is insulting the public. If Speaker Madigan wants to continue in a position of enormous public trust with such a serious ethical cloud hanging over his head, then he has to, at the very least, be willing to stand in front of the press and the people and answer every last question to their satisfaction. Written statements and dodged investigatory hearings are not going to cut it. If the Speaker cannot commit to that level of transparency, then the time has come for him to resign as Speaker. We are at an incredibly difficult moment in our state. We are all overwhelmed with decisions of life and death and economic distress. The people of Illinois do not deserve a political circus on top of that. I've maintained from the beginning that legislators have a right to make their own decisions about who leads them, and I continue to feel that way. These legislators alone hold the unique power to elect the Illinois Speaker, and I trust that they will think long and hard about the duties that they owe to the people that we all work for.